I'm so thrilled that you're here today. We're in the fourth week. Thank you, Oscar. We're in the fourth week of a series on the fruit of the Spirit. And if you've missed it, I encourage you to go back and listen. You can listen to audio or watch the video and just get caught up. But the first week, Pastor Brett got us started. And then the second week, I taught on peace. And then last week, Pastor Bobby on love. And then today, I want us to talk about the list. I mean, some of y'all are like me, you're list people. There's nothing in my life quite like a good to-do list. I mean, I just get all fired up about a good to-do list. Like, you know, tonight I will have a list for the week, and then tomorrow I'll have a list for the day, and then tomorrow night I'll adjust my list. And I just get so fired up about a good list. Anybody else like me? Anybody else like a good list? How many of you just hate a good list? Yeah, okay. Well, you know what? That's why we get stuff done. So I just want to kind of put it out there and just say it's part of how it works. Now Jenny, she has lists, multiple lists. I have a list. Jenny has multiple lists. If you go to the kitchen, there's a stack full of lists. If you go to the dining room, there's a stack full of lists. If you go back over to the television, there's a stack full of lists. You go to her office, there's multiple stacks worth of lists. My wife is a list person. The problem is finding them. So we've decided to put a list together of where the lists are so we can get our list right. And so, baby, I'm for you. I want you to know that. You're my sweetheart, and I love you. List or no list. Today, we're in Galatians chapter 5, and we are going to talk about the list. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, here's what Paul writes in the Word of God. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. That's a mouthful right there. That's a whole sermon. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. So let's just stop right there real quick. God created the heavens and the earth. God created man and woman. There is Adam and Eve. God has made this perfect place for Adam and Eve. And he said, just don't do this one thing. And what's the one thing they did? The one thing. By the way, if you tell a three-year-old, don't do that, what's the three-year-old going to do? That. If you tell a 30-year-old, don't do that, what is the 30-year-old going to do? That. You tell a 60-year-old, are you with me? I mean, you just keep on going, right? It's our human nature. That's what the Bible's talking about. You know, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil. Now, we always get hung up in the American church on this term evil. Because most of us here today would say, Chuck, when you're thinking about evil, you're talking about people that are a lot worse than me. All right, but the Bible's definition of evil is anything other than God's desire for your life. Are you with me? So, like, don't hear evil like, okay, you think I'm a terrorist. I mean, hear evil in the sense that all of us, I mean, according to the Bible, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all messed up. We've all made bad choices. We've all had bad attitudes there, right? So the evil, that's the whole thing. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. So this is why Paul says, you know, there are times I don't do what I want to do, and I do what I shouldn't do. I mean, Paul makes a big deal about this. By the way, it's true in our life. There are things in my life. It's like, Chuck, why did you make that choice? That was just so dumb. Like, Chuck, why did you speak to that person that way? That was so dumb. Like, Chuck, why did you have that bad attitude? That was just so dumb. Well, it's because there's this ongoing battle in every human between what is God's desire for our life and what we think or we think the world wants from us. And that battle never stops this side of heaven. So if you're thinking, like, you know, Chuck, I just need to be a better person. We're going to tackle that in a minute. But let me just stop and say, that's probably not the challenge. Like, my guess is just at people in here and watching online, we're trying to figure out, okay, how do I fit into this evil versus good thing? Well, the battle's going on inside of you. Nonstop, it's there. So in short, we have this never-ending battle this side of heaven. If you skip down to Galatians 5, verse 18, then it says, but when you're directed by the Spirit, you're not under obligation to the law of Moses. Now, let's just be clear here. It's saying when you are directed by the Spirit of God, in other words, when you decide to walk in the Spirit of God, meaning I want to obey, I want to follow, I want to be directed, I want to be at peace with the Spirit of God, when this happens, then I'm not under the law. And you say, oh, so then I can do whatever I want to do if I'm following the Spirit of God. Here's the difference. When you walk in the Spirit of God, you won't want to. See, this grace that we live under doesn't give you a free pass on stuff. Grace gives you a desire to always do more, not less. And so the scripture goes on and says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Now listen to this list. When you follow your own way, you follow the world's way, listen to what we get. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like this. Now, I would just stop and say, if you just stopped right there, we would all say, okay, not a good list, right? I mean, not a good list. I mean, I have never met a person who went through this wild, crazy season in their life and woke up without knowing where they were or what they were doing or what had happened and thought, that was awesome. I mean, I've never met anybody that woke up in their own vomit and said, let's do that again. I mean, I don't know anybody that went out there and just had like this crazy, like, let's run every red light and just see what might happen. I don't know anybody that makes a choice like that and says, oh, that was a great idea. I mean, every time I do something dumb, you know what I have to deal with? The guilt that comes with it. And if we're not careful, guilt and shame will own us instead of grace. But there's a way that we can trust the Spirit of God at work in our life so that we can have forgiveness, we can live without guilt, we can live without shame, and we can live with grace. And we can do that in such a way that it's not on us, but it's on Him. Because many of us think in the American church that being a Christian or being a good Christian is all about me doing the right things, checking off the list, and here's what I don't do. I don't do this, I don't do that. I mean, we just have a list. But the scriptures, that's not what the scriptures teach. The scriptures tell us that it's not about the law of Moses, so it's not about how you compare yourself to someone else. It's about how you are compared to God. Period. Right? I mean, it'd be easy for me to look at somebody in the crowd and say, well, you know what? Like Dorothy over there, like she's just a scumbag. I mean, I am doing so much better than Dorothy. I mean, Dorothy's a heathen. She's horrible. I mean, good night. I mean, that's not true. Dorothy's actually one of the nicest people I know. But when we compare ourselves to one another, we're always going to find somebody that we think we're better than. But when we compare ourselves to God, we have this overwhelming reaction. He is God, we are not. That we can't do this on our own. And the scripture goes on and tells us that. After all that list, we recognize we're at odds with God's way for our life. And then Paul throws in another. He says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So then you say, well, okay, Chuck, how do I get this Holy Spirit then? Because I need that list instead of the other list. I need this list in my life. Well, it comes through this process that we call justification. And you say, okay, Chuck, that if ever there's a church term, it's that one, right? We're going to talk about that in a minute. What does justification mean? Because with justification comes another word called righteousness. All right, now righteousness has kind of a bad perspective the way we see it, because righteousness to us means, okay, I'm good morally. But righteousness in the scripture says that God sees you as good before Him. Big difference. Like, if you see me as morally good, okay, that's pretty good. But could I say to you, I mean, I'm not always very good. I mean, there are times I'm just not very good at all. And I live on the wrong side of the list. But you say, well, Chuck, wait a minute. What does the fruit of the Spirit have to do with this? Well, first of all, remember, it's the fruit, not the fruits. Even though there's a list of them, you get them all. And you say, well, Chuck, do I have to earn them? You can't. Well, Chuck, do I buy them? You can't afford them. How do I get them? Okay, watch this. I do what you did, and I trust Jesus with my life, and I choose to follow Him. And He, in turn, gives me righteousness, His righteousness, not mine. You see, remember, righteousness is not about how I measure up to you. Righteousness is before God. So for me to be righteous before God, remember what the scripture says. There are none. In my own power, none of us are good enough. None of us stand before God righteous apart from Jesus. Now listen to what happens. In Galatians 5:17, remember what it says. And the Spirit, you say, well, where's the Spirit? I say yes to Jesus. And according to his word, he gives me his Holy Spirit. That's his gift to me. The Holy Spirit then moves into my soul and owns me from head to toe. When I choose to prioritize him, then the fruit that he's already given me, love, patience, peace, are you with me, all that list, all of those elevate and all that bad list decreases. But it's all about what I prioritize in my life. So when a preacher says walking in the Spirit, okay, it may mean literally walking, but literally what we're talking about is this. As you go about your everyday life, are you allowing the Spirit of God that lives within you as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, are you allowing that Spirit to guide you, direct you, correct you, and move you in the direction that God would have you so that you can enjoy these fruit rather than that list that came previously? And you get to make that choice. That's the battle that happens ongoing. But hear me. If you think it's about you trying to be better morally and trying to follow the rules and do the right things, then you're going to always look for man's approval, not God's approval. And the more you look for man's approval, the further you're going to grow away from God's. See, this is such an odd thing the way we see it. We think it's all about if I could just be better. I have people say, they'll come to my office on a regular basis, Chuck, I'm trying so hard to be good. I'm trying so hard to not do this or not do that. I'm trying so hard. I had a fellow the other day, he said, Chuck, I'm trying my best to not drop the F-bomb all the time. Well, you don't hear that in the pastor's office every day. And I just looked at him and I said, why don't you just stop trying? And you could see this relief over me, like, yeah, you get to say it all the time now. That's awesome. And I was like, no. I said, if you will elevate the presence of the Spirit of God, the desire will decrease while his fruit increases, which means I get to have more peace because that's his gift to me when I prioritize him. And you see, this is how the Spirit works. The Spirit wants to give you all good things. The Spirit has nothing but good for you to experience in your life. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is not like a Debbie Downer. The Spirit wants you to have fun. The Spirit of God wants you to enjoy this journey. The Spirit of God wants you to have a blast. The Spirit of God wants you to make money. The Spirit of God wants you to live well. But you've got to choose to walk in the Spirit of the Lord and follow what he has for you, not what the world wants from you. You say, well, now Chuck, does that mean I'm going to make money? No, it doesn't. But I'm living proof that's not true. I've been trying to walk with the Spirit, and you know, I'm still broke. But I will tell you this. I'm filled with love and joy and peace. I have this overwhelming sense that I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I can't wait to get up and go do what I do. I can't wait to hear stories of what you guys do. I can't wait to see baptisms like this. I love it when y'all are here because I feel like my people are in the room. But it's because of the Spirit of God, not because of me, because I'll promise you, I am worthless apart from Jesus. Worthless. Can I just say to you that your pastor is a worthless human being apart from the presence of Jesus, period. None. I offer nothing to this world apart from the good of Jesus the Lord, period. You say, well Chuck, does that mean I don't offer anything? What it means is you offer the world everything in the power of Christ and you offer the world nothing apart from him. But yet in him, you offer everything. I mean, Paul is writing to us saying you can choose the following. Listen to this list again. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness. I'm pretty sure all of us would agree none of that list makes us a better human, a better family, or a better society. I think we'd all agree, okay, but how do I avoid that list? Because Chuck, it feels like I'm good at following in one of those. And by the way, you don't get to pick which ones are worse. That's the thing about God. You don't get to pick which ones are worse. Because what we like to do is say, well, yeah, but you know what? I'm no drunk. I'm just a gossip. And God said, busted. Yeah, well, Chuck, you know what? You know what I don't do? I don't talk bad about people. I just talk bad about them in my prayer life. Busted. Yeah, well, Chuck, at least I'm not like busted. But Chuck, I went busted. Because it's about you and God, not about you and somebody else. You see, the minute you stop comparing yourself to somebody else and put yourself in the position where you desperately need, because you desperately know that you desperately need, the Spirit of God to direct your life, that's when you start enjoying the fruit of the Spirit. Look at the list again, guys. Pull it back up, guys. So when I walk on my own power, I get the left side. When I walk in the Spirit, I get the right side. You say, well, Chuck, is it like one of those tests when I was a kid? Can I connect those every now and then? And like, can I pick? Because like, Chuck, I've got a little bit of an anger problem, but I love Jesus. That's like saying I only blow up little bombs that I send in the mail. It's like, but Chuck, I'm a little selfish. But let's face it, I'm faithful. And the Lord would look at this and say, here's the problem. You're still trying to think it's about what you do. But this isn't about what you do. This is about what he does in you, through you, for you, constantly. The question isn't which list we want to live on. It's how do we live in the right side of the list? Like, how do we actually do that? Well, let's go back to that word righteousness. Righteousness can totally get buried in church word. Remember its spiritual meaning. It's the quality of being right in the eyes of God, right? It's not about following rules. Isaiah 33 gives us a list of why this is important. Because we have to recognize that our righteousness is never on our behavior. It is not on just our morals. You see, if I'm righteous to the law of the land, then I follow the law of the land, right? But if I'm righteous before God, I follow the rules of God. Now hear me. I believe we ought to follow the rule of the land, all right? But not every law is righteous. Not everything that's legal is holy. Not everything that we are capable of is good in the eyes of God. So what do we do to fix that? We know who is the ultimate lawgiver. Isaiah writes in chapter 33, "For the Lord is our judge, our lawgiver, and our king. He will care for us and he will save us." So he gives us both ends. God made the law. God made the rules. God said, but I'm going to give you a way to live your way through that. And I'm going to give you my Spirit, because righteousness is a God-centered attribute. No human can attain it on our own. Most of us think that righteous living has so much to do with our behavioral modification. I just want to take you completely off the hook. Completely off the hook. All right? You say, well, Chuck, you know what? I want to be good. Okay, then trust Jesus and let him direct your life. Chuck, I want to make the right call. Okay, trust Jesus, let him direct your life. But Chuck, I want the right-hand list. I want all those fruit of the Spirit. I want them to elevate in my life. Then watch this. Chase after Jesus and watch how those get elevated. Because until you do, you're going to keep choosing the left hand on your own side. It's just always going to happen. I mean, that's what we do. I don't know how many of you witnessed or were a part of road rage this week. And I asked the 9:30 crowd, I found it fascinating, about 80% of the people raised their hand were female. I don't know what that says about y'all, but I'm not even going to ask in this one. But I'm just going to say that it's highly probable that there are people watching online or in this room that this week you have participated in some degree of road rage. Okay, I'm just going to fully admit I have as well. Jenny and I were driving downtown to see the girls and have dinner with them the other night. And there was a really wonderful fella that cut me off. And he was so happy about it. And he waved at me and let me know how happy he was. I thought it was really rude that he only used one finger to do so. But I just thought, okay, that's not cool. But you know what I said? You idiot! Now, I'm not going to tell you the rest of what I said because it's probably not right. But the fact is, I got all fired up. And Jenny, who never does that, just leaned over. And this is how she kind of helps me out. She said, well, that really helped. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But honestly, listen to what happens. We get righteousness because of this word. It is imputed to us. It's not a word we use a lot. I-M-P-U-T-E-D, imputed. It means this, that if I did something or paid for something but gave you credit for it, I imputed that to you. All right? So like, let's say I went out and I paid for Rick's mortgage next month. And I just said, hey, Rick, you did it. Way to go, buddy. That I imputed that. By the way, I'm not doing that, Rick. But but if I did, that would be cool because Rick got the credit for something I did, right? Jesus imputed righteousness onto us because of what he did on the cross. If Jesus hadn't died on the cross, shed his blood, been buried and raised from the dead and overcome sin and death, you and I couldn't wear his righteousness. But because he did, when you trust him, then he gives it all. You get his righteousness, you get his justification, you get it all. Listen to what Paul also wrote in Philippians. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise. Imputed means we get the benefit of what Jesus has done. We couldn't do it. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. This is the message of Jesus, that Jesus justifies us, which means basically this, you're not found guilty even though you are. Like way back in the day, I got a citation in Gwinnett County. I was a builder. I was building, and I had a citation where I had a bunch of silt that got out in a storm. I got code enforced, and I was told to get it cleaned up and don't let it happen again. Where I cleaned it up, it happened again. I got cited. I had to go to court, and I'm standing in front of the judge, and he's like, what's the problem? I didn't know anything to say except, you know what, Your Honor, I'm guilty. I'm just dumb. I thought I could just fix it and it'd be okay. And he said, well, clearly that didn't work. He said, but I have pictures where you tried. Just know, could you go try harder? And he let me off the hook. And I thought, bless the Lord, oh my soul. But you know what I went back and did? I went back and put more silt fence in and put 3 different rows. I made stinking sure that wasn't going to happen again. But you know what's beautiful is I was guilty. I deserve the fine. You see, when we know that we're guilty and we stand before God and he says, but I'm going to let you off the hook, this is what it is to be justified. That term is that the act by which God moves a willing person from the state of sin, which is injustice, to the state of grace, which is justice. This is the beauty of Jesus. Romans 4:25 said, he, meaning Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. How beautiful is that? You say, okay, Chuck, can you just make it so simple because I'm really hungry? Let's go. All right, you ready? Here's the way it works. You say, Chuck, this looks a little more complicated. Watch how simple it is, because if you don't do anything else, you got to get the first one right. Choose Jesus. How do I choose Jesus? It's what I said earlier. Jesus, would you come in and give me your righteousness because I can't earn it? Would you justify me before God and make me clean, make me new? Will you give me your spirit? And he promises he will. And by way of that, do I get your fruit of the spirit? Absolutely. Well, then I can embrace his direction, which is walking in the spirit. And remember, walking in the spirit is literally prioritizing the spirit of God in all that I do. Like, have you ever been somewhere and you felt like inside, it's like, ooh, I probably shouldn't do that? That's the spirit of God saying to you. You say, yeah, but I just thought that was like this little thing happened to me. Well, it is, but it's a bigger thing than a little thing. It's the spirit of God. I mean, it's the 3 times holy God of Israel, the living within you, saying, hey, hello, I'm trying to keep you from heartache here. Grow in his spirit. Actually pray. You say, Chuck, I'm not good at the whole prayer thing. Don't do that. I want to encourage you to start your day every day this week with this prayer. God, would you give me wisdom? God, would you give me wisdom? Say, anybody can do that. I mean, listen, God, would you give me wisdom? By the way, it's one prayer that according to the scriptures, God will always answer. 100%. You go back to the list, guys. Because once you get it up there and you say, well, I grow in his spirit, then I need to enjoy his peace, his power, and his protection. Choose Jesus. He gives you his spirit. You walk in his spirit. And you and those around you enjoy the fruit of his spirit. But all of this happens because he gives you his righteousness. If you notice the theme in all the music today, the whole theme was this. He will go before you and he will fight your battles. If you allow him, he will deliver you. I want to invite our team to come back. We're going to worship real quick before we go. But here's what I want to invite you to do today. I'm going to invite you to just say, right there where you're sitting, I don't want you to bow your heads. I don't want you to close your eyes. Just look right here. God is not limited by heads bowed and eyes closed. He is not limited by whether we're kneeling or hand raising or running around. He's not limited, period. And God can hear the desire of your heart. And if you want to say, Jesus, I need your righteousness, would you justify me right now? And he will. You say, well, Chuck, is there magic in the prayer? I mean, like, I can't really, you've been saying this a long time. I don't have that order of that prayer thing down. Okay, stop it. That's rules. All right, stop it. Just Jesus, I need you. I want you. Would you step into my life? Jesus, I need you. If that's your prayer today, let it be that. And you might say, well, Chuck, I've done this before. I never heard bells. I never heard whistles. I didn't either. But Chuck, I feel like every time I turn, I just make the wrong choice. Well, it might be today that your choice could be, Jesus, give me the wisdom so that I can feel your presence so much in your spirit right now that I will answer you and literally be willing to let you direct me in my life. If that's the desire of your heart, I'm going to ask you to do something. Listen, Jesus, we did a disservice to generations when we sang on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, like it was in some beautiful green pasture, Jesus died for you. They put an instrument of death on the corner of Main Street and First Avenue. And they hung him up there and let his blood drip out of him and poked him in the side with a spear and mocked him and scourged him so the people would walk by and spit on him. And all the while he said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And he's still saying to you right now, forgive them. And he just wants to knock on the door of your heart and you answer him. So maybe right now you'd say, Chuck, I've been going to church for 40 years, but I need to settle this. Chuck, I'm brand new to this, but I'm going to settle this today. Chuck, you don't know the hell I've lived, but I'll promise you I'll settle it today. Then if that's the desire of your heart, Jesus didn't die for you in a closet, friend. He died at the corner of Main Street for you. And he said, if you will recognize me before men, I will recognize you before my heavenly Father. And right now, if you want to give your life to Jesus and settle it once and for all, just stand up. No heads bowed, no eyes closed. You want to settle it, just stand up. 8 people did last hour. Who's first? Who's first? Anybody? Bless your heart. Who's first? Who's next? Who's second? Who's second? Stay standing up, sweet girl. Who's next? Who's that? Who else? Come on, who else? I promise you, Jesus isn't done doing business here. Who's up? Then I want you to know, if all that happened today was for you to hear the message of Jesus, he died for you, sweet girl. I promise you, and he adores you, and I am so proud of you. You are why we do what we do. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Come on, church. Jesus go before you and make a way and make your crooked path straight. That's what he does. Let him go within you and bring you peace and joy, fulfillment and contentment, because he is always good and you are always loved. Boy, when things get funky, man, and they do, don't they? Let that Jesus come along behind you and pick you up and carry you. Not around the problem, but right through the stinking middle of it. Only to set you down victoriously on your two feet. Middle of it. Only to set you down victoriously on your two feet. Wipe away your tears. Kiss you on the forehead. Wrap you up in those big loving arms. And you can hear him say, "Woo, my child." Say it with me, church. I love you.